Hi, welcome back to Binary Jazz. This is a show where, it's a train wreck show where we talk about things that we don't know anything about, which is pretty much
God, what it's do. So on brand, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much what we do normally. I'm joined as always. I am Chris, Jazz Sequence on the internet. I'm joined as always by Gary, who's Binary Gary on the internet. That's the direction my thumb is pointing. And also Allison.
Your thumb was pointing to the internet?
Yes. And also Allison Plus, who is Allison in real life.
I'm really excited to see.
I exist more on the internet than in real life, so.
I didn't mean to assume, but that is not correct.
It's been I guess it's only been a couple weeks, but
Gary, I have a question about your current background. My question is that directly behind you a curtain or a sheet placed over a curtain rod?
There's nothing behind it except for a wall. Does that answer the question?
That answers a different question.
That's a whole new question.
I don't think it's a sheet, though, because it came with, like, the curtain hole up top. But it's...
Okay, so
it is a curtain rod on a wall, but...
It is a curtain.
Yeah.
There's no window behind you.
That is blocking nothing.
Yeah, it's decorative, because this is a big empty wall. We wanted something nice up there, and Rhonda said we should put up a tapestry, but instead we put that up.
I think I'm still I'm envisioning you in your other space, so I'm assuming there's like a window or something, and then
I need to adjust.
This is I'm in the living room, so this is not a view anybody gets really except for Emma. This is the light we turn on when we watch TV at night.
And what color what color do you turn it on for TV watching?
It varies. It's constantly different.
Does it depend on the show that you're watching?
Really depends on my mood, how the day's been, just the kind of lighting I need. I probably turn the light on before I figure out what show we're watching. So this is the fancy, as we were saying before we started, why not give the LED light bulbs Wi-Fi and the ability to change color?
Let them be so lighter. I distinctly remember you being a little uncomfortable with Google. Home devices.
Yep. Now I own two.
But now you're using Google Home.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. So the app that came with this is actually creepier than using the Google app, because it's this funky Chinese thing. So I actually feel safer passing it through Google and having Google hit their API. I'm assuming that's how. I have no idea how it works. Maybe it has a microphone or a spine on me. No,
I hope this podcast episode is helpful for the time capsule once the light bulb robots take over.
Yes, this will be one for the ages.
Well, it'll be like those one here.
I went to a Google Assistant talk at Open West the last time that existed. So it does hit an API. I am aware. It's just what they do with the data after it hits the API is.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm sure it has GPS coordinates and all sorts of crazy data that it doesn't need. And there's another one. We have a light out by the street that's freaking adorable. And so I like turning that one on in the evening and setting it to different colors for often no reason.
Well, my son's 15th birthday was last week. Yes. And.
Wow.
Yeah,
and a decade and a half.
He is as a class. So we do this thing called MyTechHigh. I think I've talked about it before. where it's sort of like for homeschoolers, and they'll give you essentially state school funding to help you buy supplies and shit. So for his class, for one of his classes, his tech class, he wanted to build a computer, learn how to build a computer. So he's plotted out, he's spent the last several months like plotting out what he wants to build, where he's going to get it and all that sort of stuff. And one of the things that he wanted, and he wants to make it a gaming computer because, you know, that's right. What you do. And so on his list were like gaming keyboard and gaming mouse. So, and those were also on his birthday list, so he wouldn't have to buy them because they're expensive and yada, yada, yada. So I got him a gaming keyboard and a gaming mouse, not the ones that were on his list, but other ones that were good. And so now his keyboard is of the sort, first of all, it's like the crazy mechanical keyboard that has like super clacky keys. I hate it because I can now like, I'm so used to the softer keys and the shallower keys that like I can barely type on his keyboard. Like I have to remember like when I used to type on that in typing class, I had to like slam my hand on the keys. So that's a thing. But it is of the type that has like the LED backlight. In various different colors. And since it's primarily designed for Windows and not Mac, and he hasn't built his computer yet, he can't change he can't program the LEDs. So all it does is just rotate. It cycles through a rainbow constantly, all the time. His keyboard is cycling through a rainbow. So that's a thing. It made me wonder if your LED can also cycle through the rainbow of colors.
Not unless I write some code to do it and hit the API endpoint. So, Google actually has like, here's a palette of maybe, you know, 30 colors, but the sketchy Chinese app that it came with is like, you can specify all the parameters. So I guess if I were to write for their API, I could make it do all sorts of wacky things. Thanks, Chris. Now I'm going to need to figure that out.
His mouse also glows as well. It's got an LED inside the mouse that glows green. So we've got the glowing rotating color keyboard. We have the green light from his mouse. Those are on constantly. We also have a charging station for his Switch controllers that glows green or red depending on their charge. We have the little blue backlight from the 3D printer screen that's always on. We've got a couple wall outlets that like glow green to show that they're active. So like our living room, front room, whatever, like when the lights are out, it's got a lot of light going on.
I was going to say, you don't even need to turn on the regular light.
Right.
Yeah. The LED robot overlords will feel comfortable in your living room already.
Yeah. So the only thing that we need now is the Wi-Fi enabled light bulb so that we can just like have those on, have those doing crazy colors. Just have like a disco in the front room. It'd be awesome.
We have a few glowy things in the living room, but not many. This bulb is sort of center stage.
You don't want to make it too busy.
Yeah, I don't want to overshadow the flowers behind me.
I'm only like half joking about about LED lights in that room too, because I think it would be actually kind of cool.
And you need like accompanying music. It's a whole thing.
That's the reason, because that's the rabbit hole right there that I want to go down. It's like thinking about it in my head, like, and then I could like DJ and I could have the lights like sync up with the
Did you see there was a video floating around a while ago where someone had programmed their lighting to match the main colors of the thing that they were watching? So if it was more like warm tones, then the lights would go warm. Advice. They did it with Nightmare Before Christmas, so obviously I was like, I'm here for this.
I'm thinking about more things like, you know, I don't know how effective that is if I'm watching Austin Powers or something. There's some movies where it's not useful, but Nightmare Before Christmas.
But maybe it would make some movies better.
Yeah. What did we watch the other day? Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. You remember that movie from
I don't know,
80s?
I'm getting it confused with Tough Guys. Why am I getting it confused with Tough Guys? I don't know. I do remember that movie. Wait, that was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Steve Martin.
Yes.
As like a con artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's all I have to say about that.
Very different movie than Tough Guys. Very different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we started talking about LED, and I forgot that I can adjust the LEDs on my keyboard, like on this laptop, which is a silly, like, who cares thing. I wonder if I can turn them off.
Yeah, someone out there cares.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently you need the backlit lights on your keyboard to play games. I didn't know that when I played games, but you know, apparently that's a requirement. Also, you need like the mechanical keyboard to play games because I don't know.
How else will everyone else in your household know that you're playing?
Know that you're doing something.
Actually,
yeah.
I have two mechanical keyboards and my third is on the way. I had a clacky one and I'm like, and it didn't really make my life any better. But then I tried like one that was a lot quieter and a lot lighter, and like the key action is different. And I really find that my wrists don't hurt with that. So that's nice. I like it. And the new one I have is like an ergonomic with the same switches. So it should be same, quiet, nothing crazy. Yeah, I don't get the big clacking part. I don't need that in my life.
I can see myself liking it, but I also work approximately 2.5 feet away from Robin, so I feel like for everyone's sanity, we should just put a Torium.
I really liked the Mac Bluetooth keyboard, but it doesn't work so hot as a Bluetooth keyboard on Linux. I mean, I'm sure I could spend some time, like, maybe making the experience better, but it doesn't excite me, so.
It doesn't work too hot. That implies that it does work to some degree.
Yeah, it does. There are some keys that just don't do anything.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. It was like modifiers, control, shift, option. I don't remember what the deal was. I don't think I could remap them, and I think they only worked on one side of the keyboard. So I'm sure that I could have figured out how to make it do something else, but you know, if you pair a Apple Bluetooth keyboard with a Mac, it's like, oh, this is cool. I mean, heck, even if you pair one with like an iPad, it's surprisingly useful.
Mm-hmm.
So typically on this show, we have a topic, but before the topic, Gary's stock pick.
Stock pick.
You should definitely not buy.
Is Gary IBM. Stock pick? Is the Gary stock pick section always going to be stuff that we shouldn't buy?
That's my plan. Yep.
Okay.
So I'm not buying IBM this week.
IBM.
That's it. That's what I'm not buying this week.
What's Gary not buying?
Yeah.
It could be stocks. It could be anything.
Yeah. Gary's not buying socks this week. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to be like, wait, I need more socks. That'll be an embarrassment. I'll come on next week and be like, well, I said I wasn't buying socks last week, but I was wrong.
My mistake.
Well, before we get into the topic, I will share a thing that we just recently discovered on Netflix. I don't know why it was recommended. It probably is new on Netflix, and that's why generally what it was recommended. But it might have to do with our viewing history. We were recommended Indian Matchmaker.
Oh.
I was also recommended that.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard mixed reviews.
We are kind of hooked on Indian Matchmaker. It's a really stupid reality show. I mean, it's like, it's of the genre stupid reality shows. And I imagine, although I've never actually watched The Bachelor, that there's a lot of similarities with The Bachelor, sort of. But like, because Indian matchmaking is a thing, and it's like such a unique cultural thing, like arranged marriages and the role of a matchmaker in relationships, is such a sort of a unique cultural thing. And because we at least have an interest or for whatever reason, for varying reasons between the two of us, in Indian history, culture, and whatever, it's interesting in that to see sort of how that plays out. And it's really fascinating and sometimes really bizarre. At the same time, the realization that I had after watching three episodes the other day, is that if I was not already married, and I was doing like online dating or something, the concept of a person like the matchmaker whose job it is to like look at each individual and try to align interests and goals and ideals and like what you're looking for in a partner, and who that's their job. That sounds a lot better than the mess that is online dating.
Than swiping.
Yeah. And like also trusting yourself to make those decisions when you yourself might not know really what you want, but somebody with an outside perspective might have a better understanding of like, and also through having done this many, many times, might have a better understanding of what you need, even if that's not a thing that you have articulated to yourself. It's just an interesting concept.
What would that service cost if it were an actual service?
I imagine it costs a fuck ton of money. Because she is always shown like flying out to all of her different clients, and she lives in India, but she's flying to Houston and she's flying to New York and she's flying to Chicago and she's flying to, you know, Mumbai, and like she's going all over. And she's got lots of clients.
It's not a part-time gig. Yeah.
This is like Indian royalty in terms of like her economic status in India. And I imagine
that's wild.
Yeah. I imagine it's not cheap. And also all of her clients are very, very, very well off. They're lawyers, they are doctors, they are like, radio personalities. They've got the cash.
Wow.
And like the one person that's on the show, at least as of episode 4, who's her client, her one client that they're showing in India, he's like a jewelry designer, like designing like this like really amazing like gold and diamond like jewelry, and like he's from like a obviously well off Indian family, and so like he's also got, and he's like a total like playboy. Yeah. So Indian Matchmaker is the Netflix pick of the week.
I feel fortunate to have gotten married before like online dating was a thing.
Yeah, if it wasn't for college,
college was like the online dating thing.
Yeah, I mean like for people who don't go, like Aaron's sister never went to college. She took a break after high school. She did AmeriCorps for a couple years. She came back and was like, I don't really want to do college. And for her, it's been really difficult to meet people because college is kind of where you meet people. And when you're not in a space like that, it's a lot harder to make those connections between people outside of like work. And you don't want to date someone that you work with, but that's who you're seeing all the time. And then how do you meet anyone else? I mean, you know, like in San Francisco, there's a large group of people that I was, you know, went to hang out with and parties with and whatever. If I did not end up getting in a relationship with Aaron and did end up moving back to the Bay Area, probably that's the circle of people that I would be hanging out with, and probably the circle of people I would be like, that's the dating pool right there. And I don't know that that would be better. I don't know that I would be a better person for being in that particular circle of individuals.
Sure, sure.
That's fair. Alternate timeline, Chris.
Yeah, that version of Chris is a very, very different version that I'm glad I'm on this side of like in this timeline, Chris.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that, not about you, but you know, let's just get to the topic. Let's get to the topic. Before the whole episode goes by. ADD.
The topic for this week is cabotage.
Cabotage.
Yeah.
it's a round leafy vegetable. I hope you all know you can always count on me for saying like the most obvious dumb answer first.
Well, it's always food related, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I'm always hungry.
I was hungry before we sat down to do this, and then I was like, I think I've developed some sort of Pavlovian.
I think so too at this point. I see the two of you and I'm like, hey, let's talk about food.
let's eat, shall we?
Yeah.
Can you spell it for me? I think I know how it's spelled, but I might.
It's C-A-B-O-T-A-G-E. Cabotage.
So it really is spelled like sabotage with cab in front.
Yes.
Okay. So,
well, I think that's a perfect spot for a Beastie Boys.
Obviously, that's where my brain's going, right? So,
well, no, my brain was, all of a sudden, I'm walking around my house singing Beastie Boys, but replacing the lyrics.
Yeah,
my partner thinks I'm nuts.
So cabotage is when you hire a taxi and you send them, but you tell them. It's when you call in for a taxi, or I guess it would work for an Uber or a Lyft or something, but you send them somewhere where it is not possible to physically go, but where Google Maps or Waze or whatever might accidentally send them, like in the middle of a river or into a lake or over a cliff or something. That is cabotage.
This is my favorite Chris bullshit answer.
We've been cabotaged.
The thing is that there are so many stories of people relying on Google Maps or whatever and like not actually looking where they're going and actually driving into lakes or like driving off the road in some weird back road and then getting like there was a truck driver a couple years ago, I think, who was making his run and like was using Google Maps and trying to do a shortcut. And he ended up on this, and it was snowing, and he ended up on this like dirt road where nothing had plowed and getting stuck for like 5 days or something because of stuff like that. So yeah. like it's not, it's just this side of unbelievable.
That's right. It is. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's this podcast, as to sum up. Just this side.
Just this side of unbelievable.
Wow, I like that actually as a slogan. I might add that to my Twitter profile. Whatever.
Binary Jazz, just this side of unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I was going to co-opt it, use it to describe myself.
Just Gary.
Binary Gary, just this side of unbelievable.
Speaking of GPS, so I grew up in the flatlands of Florida. And there are very few roads in Florida that, I shouldn't say this, generally, very few roads in Florida are curvy. Like, maybe in neighborhoods, but they're all straight and gritty, you know?
I think I know what you mean, but it sounds so bizarre.
Yeah, so coming up here, like, there's hills and things, and so there are very few roads that are actually straight.
Other places have curves.
So in my head, I cannot establish a grid because I have in my head, well, that road goes north. But this other road goes north. But they cross each other. How are they parallel if they cross? And it's fun to get lost on my way back from the home repair store.
So Utah and well, Salt Lake City in particular, most Utah cities are built on a grid, and the grid extends from the temple, because that is the center of all things, right? Salt Lake City and some of the surrounding like burbs, I guess, are like that, except when they're not. And when they're not, it really throws you for a loop because
that's what I discovered when I was driving there.
Because
like...
everything else is on a grid. So like you expect everything to be on the grid, and then you find yourself on this weird diagonally running street that goes who the hell knows where, because it's not on the grid, it's doing something else. And there's like neighborhoods that like have a grid, but the grid is different.
It's like the grid is like
the grid is like shifted in a weird way.
15 degree, yeah.
When when I was driving there, I'm like, okay, I got this grid. Like, I can handle it. And then all of a sudden you turn a left and be like, I'm not pointing the direction I should be pointing in. Like,
how did that happen? Yeah.
The big thing that I had to learn moving here was like the way the streets are named is very logical, but it is extremely difficult, I think, for people who are not from here to have them work in their brain. Because, like, for instance, we live right next to a street, basically on the street, except our street kind of like does a weird thing. But we'll say that I live on 200 West, okay? And there is another street, that's sort of the cross street, that is 700 North. So on a grid, you can see, okay, 200 West, 700 North, it's right there. That's where the pin drop is, right? 200 West and all West streets go north to south.
Yes.
So when you are driving on 200 West, you're going north or south.
North or south, yes.
And when you are driving on 700 North, you're driving east to west.
Because it was 700 gallops north of the city center, that east-west street.
And so obviously there's a 300 West and a 400 West and a 500 West and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which yeah. all extend west, which makes sense when you're looking at a map. And then there's the east ones. There's like, you know, 200 East, 300 East, 400 East. They all go east. And then there's, you know, 700 North, 800 North, 9. So those all go north and the south and whatever, and they all extend out. And so on a map, it makes sense. Like, okay, those numbers get bigger the further south you get, until they don't, because now you're in another city with another temple. And now we reset everything.
So now
everything.
You've gone from 1,200
Right, you've gone from south to north.
To 900 North, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Except it's usually something like 121 I guess it would be 12,100 south or something, and then at that point it changes into like 5,000 north. but like driving the streets, it's like, well, wait, why am I turning onto north when I want to go east? And like, west, or, yeah. yeah, it's just like your brain is like, and it shouldn't be that hard. It shouldn't be that hard. But I totally commiserate with people coming in from other places and be like, what the hell?
Yeah, why?
This makes no sense. And actually, it makes a lot of sense, but like, it doesn't make sense if that is not the logic that you are familiar with.
Yeah.
I'm on and that is cabotage. Southwest, but there's no other version of it. So like the whole length of it is Avenue Southwest.
Avenue Southwest.
Yeah.
But maybe they were just like thinking big. They were like, look, we want.
It's really interesting because it is off of, like, I'm like a quarter mile from the historic district. So there's some very old houses here. And ours is relatively new at 68 years, you know? And so it's fun to like walk and be like, how are these streets designed? There's the main road, Union, and then parallel to Union, like a block away, is Spring. And a road that comes from Union may hit Spring and cross, but it doesn't actually cross like at 90 degrees. Like Miller ends here, and then 60 yards north is the rest of Miller. So, was that just the way people like walked into town, or like what was, you know, like how did that happen and why? And
so we live.
I was like, was there a tectonic shift right in the middle of the street? I'm like, probably not, but I like that mental image.
We live in a neighborhood that has been sort of reclaimed, renamed as Marmalade, the Marmalade District.
Oh, that's cute.
Which is named because this part of town, historically, there were lots of like fruit trees and groves and stuff. And so there's like, a lot of the street names are based on like various different fruits, and the street that we are technically on is Wall Street, which does a weird thing. We break the grid because ours like sort of does this weird curvy thing, and then it goes up at an angle, and it does that because it does that.
Cabotage sends me. I don't know what to do.
It goes up at a weird angle and curves because there used to actually be a physical wall on this street that was to keep the Native Americans away from attacking the city capital.
Yeah, don't want to let them into the temple.
Or state capital, I guess. It is the state capital. Yeah, not city capital. Why did I say
so capital? We're at the point in the show where we ask, what does this word mean?
Typically, yeah.
Or do we want to take final guesses? I'm still sticking with a leafy vegetable.
Yeah, I mean, you're wrong.
This whole time, you've been mispronouncing cabbage. That's the one.
How embarrassing would that be? Wait, say it again?
Cabotage.
Are you serious? Oh my gosh.
It's cabotage.
It's a fancy cabbage.
Yeah. There it is. I'm sticking with my cabotage. Sabotaging cab drivers is definitely what cabotage should be.
Okay. I feel like the real meaning is boring.
It's less interesting than
it always is, though. Cabotage is the transport of goods or passengers between two places in the same country.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Really?
No, it's not. It's totally sabotaging a cab driver. That's just, we're just denying reality. That's not the definition.
Specifically in the same country, though, is the call.
I believe so, yes.
Wow.
So it used to be just like port to port, but now it also applies to like planes, trains, automobiles.
So like domestic carriers like Southwest Airlines provide cabotage. Is that,
yes,
I'm using that correctly, understanding that correctly?
Yeah.
Neat.
And some, like, it's basically now it's used to like be like instigating laws and stuff, but it's basically like the right to operate those transports within a certain territory.
Wow. How did this word occur?
Yeah, that's a good question.
For you, not like in like the...
Oh, I was just like, I think it's, the origin is French. That's a good question. I was reading something and they were talking about Canadian cabotage and I didn't know what that meant. Mm. I was thinking it was something like portage, like when people take canoes or kayaks and like, but that wasn't it. I mean, it was kind of it because I guess the origin of it is from a French word that means to travel by coast. So maybe there's some connection there, but.
So it's pronounced portage, say that again, portage?
Oh, portage is.
Yeah. I always thought it was portage because I read it and never heard it pronounced.
Yes.
It makes sense.
You said portage and that made sense because I know I've seen that word in my life.
Yeah.
Never seen portage, but I have seen portage.
Portage.
As a Boy Scout, I thought I would do quite a bit more portaging than I've ever had to do in my life. It seemed to be a recurring theme of something I needed to know how to do, and I've probably done it a single time in my life to earn a merit badge. So,
depending on how outdoorsy you are, it's relatively common around here if you go up to like cottages or go hiking or camping and stuff. Like, I have a friend who does like a family portage trip every year, which she has a very large family, so it's probably a lot more fun if you have more people, but
yeah.
And I don't think we have any Allison questions this week, unless I submitted some in my sleep.
No, we don't have any questions. We don't even have junk questions.
What are we gonna do?
Oh, well, I will roll back to my distraction before we had the topic then, because I have thoughts.
Thoughts
On Chris's on your alternate thoughts. Timeline.
Oh, yeah. On alternate Chris. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Right. So I'd like to play this out a little bit. Just because I'm curious. So like alternate Chris, I certainly think that the impact of your partner has sent you on a vector, right? Mm-hmm. I think I would also argue that you were discounting your own impact on others. So were you to have taken the alternate timeline, I think in your head you can be like, oh, I know those people and the effect they had on me. And I would expect that the following ... would happen. But I think the part that you're not able to adequately identify is in turn the effect you would have on them. And that's what makes that whole area super gray. Like, I don't think it would be worst timeline. I think that it would be, if we say that the scale is like bad is down and good is up, and you're thinking, well, it was going to vector down. Like, I think it's going to vector higher than you expect and possibly up.
Yeah, no, that's fair. The stuff that I stopped doing after, I was in a much less healthy headspace generally about people and relationships and sex at the time, that then became more healthy with the inclusion of a stable relationship with a person that was mostly together. And I feel like I would have been more immersed, like, even like, I anticipate that if I went down that path, I still would have no longer been in the relationship that I had been right before Aaron. We still would have blown up. But I feel like my response to that would not be to be seeking out healthier relationships. It would be to and I'm probably being really negative on myself, but in my head, I go down a darker path of like more self-destructive behavior and more like sure. self-destructive relationships and things like that. Before it turns up, just because the people that were in that scene, the people that I was associating with, like what that pool looked like at the time, and where my headspace would be going into it.
I think you can only observe that in the very short term from that point.
Sure. Yeah.
When that relationship ended, like, you can say, like, well, I think that there would be this immediate, but there's so many variables that are constantly. Here's another take on it. Like,
but it would be a very different version of Chris.
I like to picture like dark
far Garther.
Like an eye patch.
Far Gothard Chris.
And like a dark like derby hat. Like a black derby hat.
Just pure steampunk all of a sudden.
Rhonda and I we sort of had this conversation in the kitchen last night as I was grabbing a beer and making popcorn, and she was coming in for more wine or something. Like, if you had asked me where things would be in the world like a year ago, right? Like, I felt like I was in a very stable, you know, trajectory. And holy shit, like, not even close to correct. Like, in addition to, like, the absolute mayhem of the world and a global pandemic and social unrest being egged on by militarized police and I mean, just a baffling president shitbag. And it, like, beyond that, you know, like, I don't know. I was expecting in August, you know, things, I would be still looking out my window and excited about that tree that was planted in, you know, I was expecting in November. I mean, that was my big change, was going to be a tree outside my office window. So, you know, like, it's wild to think like how unstable everything really is.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, like, the actual stability of humans in the midst of that instability. So while everything's blowing up, like, yeah, I mean, Rhonda and I are like where we've been, which is cool. Even though there's like times where we're like, the fuck, you know? So there's, I don't know. I mean, like there's like these parallel things that are happening, and some are unstable and some are stable, and it's hard to make blanket observations and understandings about myself in the midst of that, because
it's hard to see who you are enough.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.